So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. We're glad you're with us here as the summer of 2025 starts to roll into the end of the season, J-Doc. But I will tell you this, the Labor and Energy Show keeps rolling along. We have stacked the box the last couple of weeks with some incredible content and programming. And more importantly than being able to say that, the content has been really, really educational for everybody that's been able to consume everything that we've produced so far.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, you know, energy keeps rolling on. Issues keep happening. We're never at a loss for content. And thankfully, we've had some great guests. And you heard about the smartest guy in the room. Well, we're about to meet him, Mike Umbro, who's no stranger to the broadcast. You know, we're talking California policy, okay? Energy policy. Now, you might hear that and say, oh, I'm going to go keep this podcast on and go get some sleep and it'll put me to sleep. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because when you talk about California energy policy, you talk about some of the most influential energy policy across the country. We adopt a lot of their policy and, you know, I know, you know, we're on major radio and all, but this is what I would call in some situations when you have a governor who's ignoring the energy commissioner, I would call it a shoot show. Okay. And you know where I'm going there. So, real interesting. And the thing is, it's consequential because it impacts all Californians. Okay. And that's where energy policy starts. So there's a great chance, it could impact us eventually, but also this, watching the policymakers in California and advocates like Mike Unbro and his organization is so important, because watching them and how they address these situations is a blueprint for what we may have to do in the near future. So we've got a fantastic broadcast.
I know you mentioned major radio. I'm scrolling across the bottom of the screen right now, just so our viewers can see it, and also we can alert to our listeners, and I'll also update our audience throughout the broadcast today. Now also available on a weekly basis, the Labor and Energy Show. You can watch the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause, and you can catch it on Apple TV, Roku TV, and Fire TV. So just an addition that we made. We're about four to 6 weeks in to that process. It's been well received so far, and it allows us to have an even bigger reach than perhaps before.
Oh, Joe, it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, it's, you know, our expansion has been fantastic to watch. It's great to be a part of. It's just the beginning. And you talk about educating people. You know, we're, you know, common sense and energy, brother. And we want to change that dinner table discussion. Okay. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that, as you know, our reach expands, so does the information and the education. And it's so important to us, and it's great to be a part of.
Let's get right to it. This is the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll pause for a short commercial break. On the other side of the break, J-Doc and Mike Unbro, back in a moment. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Labor and Energy Show, proudly presented by PBF Energy, also EQT Corporation, American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, and Monroe Energy.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. I'm ecstatic to have Mike Unbro on the program again, and CEO and founder of Californians for Energy and Science. Mike, welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be back. Thanks for continuing the conversation with me. It's exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, wish we didn't have to. I can't imagine what it's like to be you, you know, when every day when you get up and you check your computer. You know, today our conversation, very interesting, when you have an energy commissioner that's making recommendations, okay, mm-hmm. and the governor just blows them off, okay?
Essentially, yeah.
I mean, just ignores them. And like I said, you know, I mean, here we are on the East Coast. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you and I will be great. This is going to be a great conversation as long as we don't talk about the Phillies and the Dodgers.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm from San Diego. I don't like to talk about the Dodgers.
Okay. There you go. Let's throw the Padres in there too. Yeah. Having said that, you know, a lot of energy policy starts in California, you know, and certainly, expands across the country. And you know, we've just seen that with the overturning of the gas car ban. And we're going to touch on that a little later. But it's so important for the country to pay attention to what's going on in California. Okay. For a couple of reasons. A, like I said, we're heavily influenced by it. Number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, you know, watching organizations like yourself, address these issues is a blueprint for what we may need to do. And so, as first off, again, welcome to the show, back on the show. If you would, before we get started, briefly remind our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, a little bit about your day job. And of course, you know, with Fieldview Capital Advisors, and then of course, we'll get into the Californians for Energy and Science.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm born and raised, like I said, in San Diego. I still live here with my wife and three kids, young kids, 8, 6, and 4. And I want them to be able to afford life in California when they grow up and when they start families. And right now, that's not a possibility. And so, yeah, you wonder what it's like waking up every day from an energy perspective. And it's just like Groundhog Day. It's like, we know what we have to do to fix things and we're not fixing them. So my background's in finance and investment banking. I spent, the early 2000s in that world and then transitioned to starting an energy development in Kern County in Central California, where 70% of California's oil is produced. In 2013, Kern County was the largest oil producing county in the lower 48 onshore. So Kern County is today still in the top 15. We're like number 13, but that shows you in just 12 years how quickly it's fallen. Meanwhile, we're still the number one producing renewable county in the United States. So some, I like to say Kern County is the energy capital of the United States that most people don't even realize exists. And so we started this energy development in 2017. We've been working on permits ever since. We still have not. I have a third grader who was a 6 month old when we started, and we still don't have permits to drill a well in oil fields that have been drilled and produced since 1895. And you look at that and it's being blocked under the guise of saving the environment. And what's happened in California is what's happened across the country, really, with climate activists, quote unquote, climate activists. A lot of times they have very little knowledge of how environment, ecosystems, energy, all of that plays together. They're just triggered by the emotional mantra of we must stop oil. And I think that's what we've seen totally play out in Trump's, you know, winning back the White House, in this second administration, really focusing on energy. I think you could make the argument his first administration, he was, you know, his first time doing it. And so they didn't get out the gate like they have this time. And now we have Secretary Chris Wright, Department of Energy. We've got Secretary Doug Burgum, BLM. We've got Lee Zeldin, Secretary of the EPA. We've got three leaders that know how businesses work, that know how energy works, that know how the environment works. And they're calling out what we've called out for years. And since starting Californians for Energy and Science, what we've called out is we need local energy. We need traditional energy, all forms, oil, gas, geothermal, even coal in certain parts of the country. And so that's the message we're bringing to college campuses. I just got back from a trip to Harvard lecturing to students. We're going to be at USC this fall. Going to be at Stanford, UC Berkeley, we're hopefully Princeton. We're targeting the top universities because that's where our future bureaucrats are in training.
Well, let me jump in there for a second because, you know, when I started to do a ton of research, okay, mm-hmm. on what's going on in China, okay, and what's going on in some of our adversarial countries, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you sit there and you talk about the extreme left environmental movement. Let's be real about one thing. We all prioritize the environment. Mm-hmm. You and I haven't met face-to-face. We've had a couple shows, but I know how important it is to us, okay? Mm-hmm. No question, okay? Having said that, okay, you know, they're an average of 29 gas-fired power plants a year building in China. They're building renewables and they're doing everything, but they're not stopping. Okay, mm-hmm. just because they're building wind farms at an incredible rate doesn't mean that they're stopping their gas-fired power plants.
Right.
Coal-fired.
Yeah, you know. Both, all of it.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, you know, this movement is not looking at the big picture, okay? Mm-hmm. Energy security is incredibly important, okay, if we keep shutting ourselves down, it doesn't mean we don't need the products.
Right.
By all means, shut yourself down. We're going to be needing them and importing those products from China. Okay.
Right.
Instead of continuing to create a environmentally efficient process and doing the best that we possibly can to make things work so that we don't need the resources from another. Last time I checked, you know, it's a big world. It's a big atmosphere. You know, China's in that whole, you know, the emissions affect, you know, everybody. So the point I'm making is this may sound trivial, but, you know, it's very, very confusing. I wonder in those conversations that you're having, you know, if people realize that over in China, first of all, they've already taken over our solar. We created that here, and they're doing all kinds of things. I mean, they're not stopping. What's the plan for that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, while we're shutting ourselves down and we have control over, instead of working together to make it more efficient, you know, more environmentally sound, you know, safer and all those things. And regulating ourselves, we're, you know, you talk about permitting, okay? Just throw on Siddharth Kara's video of what's going on in the Congo with the kids mining, right?
Right.
We could not stop that or replace it if we wanted because we can't get the permits.
Right.
So permitting reform is such a massive deal, okay? Mm-hmm. Not being able to do those things. And and we look at a lot of these things, Mike, their backdoor ways of shutting us down. Go talk to somebody in your neighborhood, on your block, who's not really, they just want to turn their light on, their lights on. You know, ask them about permitting reform. Ask them about, you know, a lot of these issues. They don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
What's that conversation like when you talk to somebody over at the university and you say, what's the plan? You know, the Paris, you know, when you talk about the Paris Accord, why I can't even imagine why China's in it, because they're, you know, what they're doing is counterintuitive to what's happening. What is that conversation like?
It's one that I expected, but it surprises most people that when we're on college campuses, there is very little, you know, pushback. They're not holding their nose when I'm saying, hey, we need to produce local oil in California. They're curious. They want to know. Like you say, the common person in the United States or in California does not know about permitting reform, why we need it, how projects get developed. They're in a different industry in most cases, particularly in California. It might be different if you're in Texas or an energy producing state.
Sure.
Or I guess I should say a state that's still allowed to produce energy, because California is a major player. But the conversation is very pragmatic. And so what I ask kids, kind of similar to your question of what's the plan, what are you going to do when you graduate, when none of these engineering jobs are located in California, whatever your state is, when you can't get a job as an electrical engineer or as a petroleum engineer, whatever discipline you're studying? All of these kids at these campuses are studying something. They're very bright kids, and they want to leave college and they want a career. And I think that's the connection that the industry needs to start making of, hey, if we don't have permits to develop our assets in California, we'll leave. Look at Chevron. We're going to Texas. Look at Oxy. We're going to Texas. Look at every Tesla, automakers. We're losing every industry in California. It's not just energy, but it starts with energy. And that's the point at which the students are ready to receive this message. And that's the biggest reason why we're on these campuses, because I feel particularly the oil and gas companies are totally missing this window of opportunity, because it's so easy for us to just follow on to the bandwagon. Oh, let's shut down Harvard. You know, they get government grant money. Well, wait a minute. These are like the hardest working. This is like the cream of the crop in most cases. Obviously, there's some nepotism getting it, but these students are really smart. And so we can disagree with the university policies, but when you get down to the student level, that's where we need to be having these conversations. And it's critical. And now we're starting semester long internship programs. We're starting, and I see a way where we can work from the students back up to the state government and the federal government saying, hey, look, you know, you got this thing going on with government funding these universities, but meanwhile, there's students here. And that's who we're targeting. So that's kind of how we approach that conversation. And it goes really well. They love it.
So, Californians for energy and science, mm-hmm. just a quick, we're going to get into the content for the show, but just remind our listeners, a little bit about, you know, the organization, who your members are, the mm-hmm. mission, progress update, since the last time we spoke, and the long-term goals.
Yeah, we start in late 2022 saying if we can't get permits, we better start teaching people the importance of this industry. And so we focus on educating on energy, economics, and the environment and looking at a holistic picture. So when we're talking about a worldview, if we're not producing the 500 to 600 million barrels of oil a year that we need for the fourth largest economy in California to operate, where is it coming from? What are their environmental standards? What are their laws? How do they treat gay and lesbians? How do they treat human rights? How do they treat child labor? What do they do? And when you peel all that back and you look at it, everybody that we present to says, oh my gosh, we shouldn't be doing this. Why are we doing this? And it's policy failure in Sacramento. And that's who we're trying to break through to.
Mike, it's exactly what I mean. In other words, it's exactly our point. What mm-hmm. what's happening when we shut ourselves down, and where are these products coming from, and what are their standards? Okay.
Yep.
And eventually, hypothetically, but not completely, because, you know, we talk about setback reform here in PA, right? I'll tell you this right now. I'll go ask every one of my neighbors. I'll start. I won't come back for a month. If one of them knows what setback reform is, I'll run naked down Broad Street. Now, we don't want to see that, right?
Right.
You know, fear not. Because they're not going to understand a damn thing. And we call those backdoor ways of shutting ourselves down.
Right. Okay?
Ways that, you know, you're not sitting there saying, well, we're shutting refineries down. We're shutting, you know, all of our drilling down at the Marcellus mm-hmm. Shale. No. We're doing setback reform.
Right.
And so who are your members in your organization?
So membership is free. Anybody can join. We got about 550 members that are, you know, quote unquote signed up, but most of it are executives in energy, all forms, oil, gas, renewable. We welcome anybody in California, students, the public, everybody. So we're open to everybody because everybody needs to be having this conversation right now. Obviously, it's more energy professionals that are saying, okay, what can we do to fix this? But but long term, you know, students, you know, we've got several at Harvard, several at Berkeley that are starting, you know, either collaborations with on-campus students or, you know, joining us, interning. We've got 5 interns now at different energy companies from these campuses. So we're really connecting our members with opportunities. And long-term, what we're trying to do is create job opportunities and job training. So we just took over an abandoned building in a town called Taft, California. Taft only exists because of the oil fields. So 99.9% of Californians have no idea where that is, even on a map. Very remote town, but disadvantaged communities and needing jobs. So we took over a building there. We're rehabbing it, a 4,000 square foot shop. We're putting lab STEM experiments in there, STEM stations for kids to learn the science of what we do. And then we're going to have a podcast room to spread the message on what we're doing, and really a place to come gather our members and meet on a monthly basis to unleash California. So we got a nice Unleash California neon sign up top, and we're ready for the secretaries to come visit and unleash the beast that is California and bring us back to affordable, reliable, clean energy.
And it's like a grassroots movement you're creating, which is obviously refreshing, and there's mm-hmm. such a need for it. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the main topics we decide. So, you know, for our listeners, because we're on the East Coast,
right.
Sivagunda is the commissioner of the California Energy Commission.
Right.
Serving as the commission's public member and vice chair. He is the lead commissioner on energy assessments. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's made several recommendations that Governor Gavin Newsom has ignored. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just, I wonder how that works, how you, you know, and,
yeah.
And so I want to do some of this in layman's terms because, you know what, some right. folks may not understand it, but, the first recommendation, okay, pause the excess profits penalty ABX 1-1 to reduce market uncertainty and focus on the supply side reliability. Let me translate that. If I know how to use AI.
Right. Yeah.
So the commissioner's saying that the state should hit the brakes on a new rule that punishes oil companies for making too much profit. He believes this rule is creating confusion in the market and could discourage companies from producing enough fuel, which could right. hurt supply and raise prices. Is that accurate? Comment on, you know, translate that and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. The translation is very simple to the general public. The oil refineries are making so much money that they're shutting down their facilities. So on its face, it's laughable that Sacramento started and Governor Newsom started this campaign against big oil just 2 years ago. You know, he's got these signs over the podium, we're shutting down big oil. And the refinery said, we're not making any money, so we're just going to close down. And so I think, you know, between the lines on the Energy Commission's recommendations, you got to read the tea leaves and just say, well, they weren't making money anyway, so clearly there's no excess profit. And then couple that with the fact that since they've been tracking refinery profits, you can look at the state's profit on state excise tax and all the climate fees and all the taxes they add to our gallon of gasoline. And you say, wait a minute, the Sacramento is bringing in $1.25 or more per gallon, $15 to $17 billion a year off of taxes and fees. The refineries are making, like, if they're lucky, 10 to 20 cents a gallon. I mean, it's really a smaller, much smaller number. So that's the layman's terms of what's really happening. Sacramento is price gouging us.
And what's interesting is we do something called the faces of the places because mm-hmm. of those stereotypes. Everybody thinks the refineries are so rich. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know much about the RFS and RINs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our small refineries here on the East Coast are closing like it's going out of style.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, so I'm trying to educate people on the stereotypes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the corn lobby, I get it. It's obviously important, but, you know, that misconception of the greedy gazillionaires. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is, you know, way out of control. So when we talk about, the state should hit the brakes on the new, you know, obviously punishing the big oil companies for making too much profit. Where is the governor in that?
He's all over he was all over the front end of it with podium speeches and, he was in the Inglewood oil field making a speech. He's been railing on the refineries for years. Ever since he came office, he came in with a mandate to shut down oil in California, to shut down the top before Newsom. And we were 200,000 barrels a day higher in terms of in-state production. So he's whacked about $6 billion a year off of our oil production revenue just locally. And that's yearly.
So when we look at, you know, the commissioner's recommendation, the governor's taking no action on it. The penalty framework remains in place. Okay. Mm-hmm. Continuing to deter investment in refinery and supply infrastructure, obviously. Permitting reform is, you know, also impacting all those issues mm-hmm. across all of energy. Who wants to invest in any projects that are going to take 10 years to get permits or maybe even right. Get shut down? And refinery operators, including Valero and Phillips 66, are still proceeding with shutdowns, citing unworkable regulations and financial risk.
Right. I mean,
Does the governor think this is, you know, like a game of chicken? And I know, obviously, he doesn't, because the trend across the country with refineries shutting down is out of control. What is your reaction? Okay, what is your plan? What are the consequences that the governor, or are there any consequences that the governor faces in regards to not acting on these recommendations? Are there protocols in place? And what can the general public do?
I think Governor Newsom totally underestimated how effective he would be at shutting us down. And now his mode of thinking is how do I avoid this for the next 2 years? Because he wants to run for president in 2028. So he's hoping that this crisis doesn't hit, but we're going to lose 20% of our refining capacity in the next 12 to 18 months. And we're going to have $8.50 gasoline, according to Professor Michael Miché of University of Southern California, Marshall School of Business. He did a 200 plus page report on this, very detailed, very scientific, very economic. So the answers are there. And we're working with Michael Miché and USC to kind of highlight that. So Governor Newsom's hoping this doesn't hit, but there's the freight train's coming. There's no avoiding it.
He started the train rolling. What about the general public? I mean, obviously that's the point of what we're doing. And like Joe Krause mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've been fortunate enough to now be able to, you know, get on Apple TV and Roku and all that. So our expansion is, you know, we're trying to reach as many viewers and listeners as possible.
Right.
But having said that, is there anything they can do once we reach them? Is there a message in regards to this situation? I don't think we're going to have members of the general public outside their houses doing fundraisers for refineries. However, these will impact the general public, these non-actions.
The only thing, and it sounds trivial, but write a letter to your representative. And if you're not in California, say, hey, I don't want these energy policies coming to my state. If you're in California, say, hey, I can't afford the price of living. I can't afford my life. These need to change. But letters only go so far. But that's, I mean, general public, unless you're going to show up at Sacramento or DC and attend hearings and really get involved in how all the sausage is made, which is what I've been doing. I didn't think I'd be that guy, but I'm happy to do it. But I think just communicate with your representatives is the best thing you can do, Republican or Democrat.
It's interesting because membership in your organization, you said, is free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right off the bat, I'm sitting here thinking of associate memberships from the general public. You want to, you know, obviously you got there's individuals with a lot of skin in the game that understand the mechanics here. And, you know, like yourself, this was your field. You understand, you want to leave it. You want to leave a fruitful situation for your kids and energy in California, but also, the general public. And that's really part of the problem. It's like, some of these issues are complicated. You got to go to hearings and, you know, there's all kinds, but the environmentalists go. So let's do this, Mike. Let's take a quick break. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show and our guest, Mike Umbro, in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EASCarpenters. Carpenters.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. That's why Labor First works with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising the member experience. Retirees can stay stress-free by calling a dedicated health care advocate to guide them through their health plans and answer questions. And now Labor First is excited to introduce Health Active, a new solution for active employees and early retirees. Health Active offers the same trusted advocacy support tailored to meet the unique needs of today's active workforce. To learn more, visit laborfirst.com.
First charted in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420. Jim Snell, Business Manager.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. We're having a fantastic conversation with Mike Umbro, CEO and founder of California for Energy and Science. And we're talking about recommendations that have been made by Commissioner Gunda. Okay. And we talked about that four in particular. And having said that, that have been ignored by the governor. Okay. And certainly there's consequences. So let's go to the second recommendation. Okay. As Commissioner Gunda, recommended to allow limited in-state crude production in non-sensitive areas to stabilize the fuel supply. What does that mean, Mike?
That means he wants production in outside of health protection zones, which are subject to 3,200-foot setbacks in California. So that is devastating for any producer in the Los Angeles basin, which has more oil reserves per acre than anywhere on earth in some regions. So more than Saudi Arabia, but we built Los Angeles on top of it. But what it also means is there's tremendous opportunity. We have a document called the West Side Natural Resources Development Zone. Most people don't realize that the southern San Joaquin Valley of Central California is home to massive oil reservoirs that are far away from anybody's home. My lease is about an hour's drive west in the middle of nowhere, a place literally called Lost Hills. So it's even named for its remoteness. And these reservoirs exist, and they're not in health protection zones. We could be drilling and producing there, and arguably we should have been all along. But the fact that you need, in our case, CEQA is the California Environmental Quality Act. The fact that you need to do CEQA over and over and over over again for every single well you drill in a field that's already been drilled, it flies in the face of science and environment. And so as a result, we're just importing more oil, which is one thing that Gunda recommended is prepare the coastal refineries that are shutting down and becoming import terminals. That's one thing we should talk about. Those facilities don't go away like they tell the community. Your refinery is not going anywhere. They're just turning it into a massive tank farm to import refined jet fuel and diesel and gasoline from places like India that are importing sanctioned Russian and Iranian oil and then turning it into product and sending it to us. So that's the Ponzi scheme that we're involved in right now on refined product. So it means we need to unleash California. We need to turn Kern County back into the number one producing oil county in the United States, which it was 12 years ago. Go ahead.
So what you're saying is that the refineries aren't going away. They're just not allowing them to refine crude. Okay. That process is, we're just importing, new resources that takes our own refiners out of the picture.
Right. Okay.
Man, you want to talk about the Twilight Zone. Because we talk about a lot of times when refineries get shut down, how they're not coming back, at least mm-hmm. in the capacity that they were. But I haven't talked about that situation. I mean, how many picket lines or how many demonstrations, are at the ports or at these new refurbished facilities that are, it's almost like, and you know what's cool about being, so we were talking at the beginning about the smartest guy in the room. I'm glad I'm not in Mike's room right now, okay? But I'm glad I'm not all that smart, because if I was as smart as Mike, I might never sleep. Okay.
I do think about this a lot.
I know you do. I mean, but you know, I'm sitting here but you do start to think about if I was somebody who was a power broker in China. Okay, mm-hmm. This is exactly what I would want.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, how could I create this? And so, you know, thanking, you know, the extremists for, you know, plowing the way for me.
Right. Okay, right.
Is to say it's mind-boggling is ridiculous. And Mike, that's part of what we're trying to do when you talk is change that dinner table. And like you said, with these really smart young students at Harvard and different areas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic. We, you know, carrying the torch is important, but we, you know, like, there's some kids at community college that need to know this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Know,
because the amount of people in the environmental left. And again, mm-hmm. I haven't met one industry person like yourself. Okay. Who has said, let's, you know, throw the environment in the river. Let's just build it all costs, no matter what the mm-hmm. standards are. We all prioritize it. Mm-hmm. But it isn't all Harvard, you know, grads and, right. and you know, in those environmental, you know, lines that they are that mm-hmm. aren't picketing at the ports and you know, and aren't now not picketing at the refineries that are. You know, they're now, you know, what did you say, terminals holding other, you know, resources from other countries.
Yeah. I mean,
they get a free pass.
Yeah. And this, and how it worked, I showed up at the community meeting in Long Beach, in Wilmington, Long Beach, last year when they were talking about the closing the refineries. The California Energy Commission hosts these public comment periods. So I showed up and hardly anybody from the industry was there. There were tradespeople that work the refineries that showed up and said, hey, for every one job in the refinery, there's 14 indirect jobs in the community of Long Beach that you're going to eliminate, number one. But what happened with why this is becoming such an emergency in California, the Phillips 66 refinery in Torrance in Los Angeles has a plan to convert their refinery to an import terminal. So they have a plan to bring in the boats, to bring in the finished product and get it to market. The Valero Benicia plant up north, that refinery does not have a transition plan to replace those fuels produced. And that's what triggered the alarm bells in Sacramento. They weren't expecting that one to go down. And now what they're running the risk of is the pipeline capacity, the volumes in the pipelines taking crude from Central California, north and south, are getting critically low. So if you don't have a minimum volume in that pipeline, you shut down the pipeline. So now what's that mean? That means that if we don't have the pipelines, those refineries, if they don't have the wharf space to import the crude oil on boats, those refineries close. So now we could be losing up to 40, 50% of our refining capacity in a very quick chain reaction. And I think that's being discussed in those back rooms in Sacramento, but definitely not in the public. And if you wanted to restore the pipeline volumes on these pipelines, you have to issue permits like yesterday to drill. This doesn't just turn on like a light switch and everything's back to normal again. This is going to take 10 to 20 years. And it's going to take federal intervention in the form of, you know, support for bonding as Sacramento ramps up all the financial hurdles you have to cross as an operator. We're not bankable anymore. No one's talking about that. There is no bankability in an industry when the governor says, I want to shut you down. No bank want it, and that was part back to this refining nonsense. That was part of his plan with Valero. 2 weeks ago, he came out and said, oh, I'm going to try to broker a sale of the Benicia refinery. It's like, wait a minute. So now this guy's our business broker. He just shut us down. He signaled to the market, don't come here. But now he's backpedaling and saying, well, let me find someone to buy this facility. No one wants it. It's a liability. It's an environmental liability wrapped up in a political football that Sacramento wants to pop. And so it's like, it's just,
how often do these refineries that get shut down become import facilities?
We're just now seeing it. So it started with in Santa Maria, the Phillips 66 refinery transitioned to a biofuel refinery. Guess what? Biofuel stinks. The community does not, literally does not want the odor, because you're dealing with whatever, dead animal carcasses,
oh my God,
seed oils, all kinds of nasty stuff that the community's like, oh wait, we thought the refinery was bad. Well, now it reeks. So it's like, so there's ultimately what we're trying to share with everybody in the community is there's trade-offs. There's trade-offs. You don't like oil companies? Then you get biofuel. You get, you're going to grow corn for food. You're going to have more expensive food. You're going to have less water. You're going, everything is a trade. You want Chinese solar and lithium batteries? Well, the battery parks are catching on fire all over California. Do you want that? Everything has a trade-off.
And Mike, what's, you know, because this is the first time I've heard about turning the closed refineries into import terminals. And what's crazy to me, just thinking about that, just as a regular dude, is that I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're not allowing us to refine the crude, okay?
Right.
You're allowing somebody else to do it whose standards aren't as strict as ours, okay? Mm-hmm. And we can't control it, okay? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. And it's ass backwards, to say the least, okay? And that's why we talked about, you know, the it being in the twilight zone and common sense and energy and focusing on, you know, and having regular folks, you know, because there's more regular folks that are obviously, you know, we use the products every day and everything that we wear and in our cars and all those things to be up on this. These decisions are being made now, but they have to understand. So if I'm sitting in a meeting like that, and I'm saying, whoa, wait a second here. This refinery isn't getting shut down. We're just allowing somebody else to do the refining whose standards are less than ours. Don't, you know, the fuels are still coming out of this thing. Where do you want? And we're losing our jobs and our communities. Like you mentioned, how many jobs are with for every one refining job? Make no mistake about it. Okay. This is not, you know, this is not, you're not, this is not happening. What you think is happening, you're just destroying your own, you know, resources, jobs, and own standards. If you really care about the environment, okay, this is counterintuitive, counterproductive to what your goals are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Educating the people that are doing it are, you know, and allowing the ports, you know, you don't see people like we said, there's no picket lines around the ports. There's, you know, they're not going, you know, they're not going to, impact the areas that overseas China is the coal fired power plants are going like out of style. And so here in America, we can be, you know, okay, we have coal fired power plants, make them as efficient as they possibly can. Or because our grid, you know, look at the grid operators. Let's segue into the next, you know, when we talked about the second, you know, okay, the state, there's no new state drilling permits since June 1st. No permits issued statewide in quarter two, 2025. No permits issued, like you said, in Kern County, which is California's top oil producing region. Like you mentioned, I mean, I imagine when I said setback reform, and you mentioned that there is, you know, probably mind-boggling distances,
right? Okay?
And still they won't allow it, okay?
Right.
And so, you know, what? Why hasn't there been movement in, you know, in regards to these permits, even after conversations like the one you and I are having right now?
I think it's because they're boiling a frog. We're already used to $4 to $5 a gallon in California, which sounds crazy to everybody else. But the price of oil globally has been relatively low in the 60s lately. And so we haven't experienced the jump. And that's what has given Sacramento, I think, in their minds, the latitude to just say, okay, well, let's just see what happens here. I don't want to signal to my base, which is the environmental activist, that I'm letting my foot off the neck of this industry. So I'm only going to do it when I absolutely have to. And when you hear Governor Newsom speak about how California operates great under a state of emergency, he said that in one of his first podcasts. It's like, what does that even mean? You want us to be in a state of emergency, which, you know, and this, it's not just oil and gas. People in California are sick of the fact that they can't rebuild the Pacific Palisades here 8 months later. And this is what I'm, you know, sadly encouraged by, is that everybody is starting to feel the pain of oppressive government. Can't get a permit to rebuild a burnt house. That's ridiculous. Can't get a permit, or can't get the homeless off your sidewalk when you own a coffee shop and no one wants to come into your coffee shop because you got homeless loitering around out front. Can't get rid of them. That's a problem. Can't lock up felons. That's a problem. Everything is cascading in California, and it's all related to bad policy. And all of these groups are also related. These environmental activist groups are the same ones advocating for all these lax policies in these very liberal cities, which is destroying our cities. And so, not to go off on that tangent, but it's all connected to, I can't get a permit to drill an oil well in the middle of nowhere in an oil field, but you can bring it on a boat. And the Air Quality Management District in Southern California, on their main page, says the twin ports of LA and Long Beach are the largest stationary sources of pollution in the state of California. The twin ports pollute more than all registered vehicles combined in Southern California. 6 million vehicles, they pollute more. So when we go to the communities, we say, look, this refinery is not going anywhere. In fact, you're just going to have the benefit of 2 to 5 times more tanker boats that are unregulated. And this is why I call it a Ponzi scheme or a casino, because as long as we move the emissions off of our books in California, they don't exist anymore. Magically, they go away. Well, we didn't produce it, so that didn't. But we're poisoning the disadvantaged communities that we claim to be saving. And that's what really resonates. The people, when you tell them that, are just like stunned. Like, I thought Governor Newsom cared about me.
Mike, it's exactly what, as you approach it to me, as you know, rank and file member of the general public, a union guy, it's the first thing I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, and in essence, they created a gridlock and somebody's got to stand up and say we were wrong. And what you're saying is they have to wait until, you know, the air almost runs out and says, and so this way, the thing is, well, I didn't have a choice, right? I mean,
that's
a great strategy, man. And we only have a couple minutes left. And you know, this show, we can go on forever.
Yeah.
You talk, there's, and let's spitfire here real quick. Focus on minimum fuel inventories for refineries and fuel traders to prevent price spikes.
Yeah. Good luck building the tanks you need to stock up on that inventory.
Yeah. I mean, no new statewide inventory mandate has been enforced or updated. I mean, no progress made towards implementation of fuel reserve requirements. I mean, you know, it's like they're, like you said, waiting till there is absolutely no choice.
Right.
If nobody wants, I can, and the last, you know, I'm going to run through this. It's, you know, a shift away from punitive oil policy towards managing a stable transition to petroleum free fuels by 2045. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. California is the number one consumer of gasoline and diesel and jet fuel. We might be number two on gasoline behind Texas, but it's not going to happen. It's not realistic. It's not looking at the numbers. There's 40 million people here, and we've got the highest poverty rate. So thinking that they're going to be able to afford a new vehicle, let alone an electric vehicle, is fantasy land. It's not going to happen. And I think in the future, we should talk about the grid. grid, because the grid is one that's next. I mean, California, we're going to have gasoline lines and $8 gasoline by 2026, 2027. And by 2028, when we're hosting the Olympics, we're going to be out of power. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem. So we need federal intervention.
No question. And I'm going to, you know, the analysis, the bottom line analysis. So even though one of California's top energy experts, Commissioner Gunda, has made practical suggestions to help keep gas prices stable, avoid energy shortages, and ensure a smoother transition to clean energy, the governor, Governor Newsom, hasn't acted on them or even publicly responded. So the inaction could mean higher prices, more refinery shutdowns, and less reliability regarding energy for Californians. Just comment on that before we roll, man, because again, this entire show has me shaking my head, but I really appreciate your insights.
Yeah, and it ultimately translates to less jobs and less money for the people of California. And we're seeing that Chevron is laying off another round of layoffs in the Central Valley and outsourcing everybody to India. I mean, that's a kind of a global thing. So these companies, hey, they'll make money elsewhere. It's a global market. And so if you don't support them locally, they'll leave. And that's what's happening. So it's very sad. It's very sad. And there's very little that the common person can do other than wake up, start reading, start researching, and join us. Go to energyandscience.com, energyandscience.com. We're kind of revamping the website, and you can join us, and I'll send you our material and get involved.
Yeah, I wanted to know that. You know, can regular folks become members of the organization?
Absolutely. We encourage it, especially retired folks that have a lot of time on their hand that want to write letters to the governor. Bring it on. My mom's a retired teacher. She's like, my friends will write letters. Let's go.
Can they be from other states?
Absolutely. I think it needs to be from other states. You know, California imports 40% of the nation's imported products through our ports. So we're a big inflation driver. We produce 14% of the agriculture, largest dairy producing state. So grocery prices, all of that is intertwined in this energy issue.
So I'm going to be one of your new members. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, within the next hour,
yeah.
If you have any literature I can send out to our friends here around Pennsylvania,
yep.
I'd be happy to promote it. Mike Umbro, CEO and founder of Californians for Energy and Science. Man, thank you so much, not only for being on the show again, and we can't wait to have you back, but also for what you're doing out there on the front lines. You're a voice that needs to be heard, and so are the members of your organization. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you for shining a light on California's issues. So I'll send you our energy emergency deck and you'll have all the details.
can't wait to receive it. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
This edition of the Labor and Energy Show is proudly presented and sponsored by PBF Energy, Monroe Energy, National Mining Association, and the United Steelworkers.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Fantastic conversation with Mike Umbro, J-Doc. Only about a minute remaining until we got to get out of here. I'll give you 45 seconds of that 60 just to put a recap on your chat with Mike today.
I mean, Joe, it's the definition of the Twilight Zone. And you know, you're listening to Mike and how the policies in California have literally handcuffed themselves. Okay, it's almost like it's imploding. Okay, refineries are becoming import terminals for other countries to come and store their products and sell them to our people. Their emission process is nowhere near as strenuous and as strict as ours. Okay, their refineries are shutting down there. Some are not becoming import refineries. Jobs are being lost. And the governor is not taking the recommendations of the Energy Commission, okay? Because he's going to have egg all over his face when he's talking to his big support base, the environmental left. And so the general public better be listening to this conversation and get involved and do whatever they can to stop this train, because like Mike Umbro said, Joe, you know, it's not stopping. And where it's going right now, man, is, you know, there's nothing good going to happen.
Sometimes in life, you got to watch what you sign up for. Mike Umbro's newest member is J-Doc. That comes with a lot. Well done by you, and a great conversation again today with Mike Umbro. This is the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Don't forget to download the podcast. Go to Apple or Spotify to do that. And also, J-Doc, you now can watch us on Roku TV as well as Apple TV, as I've been sharing with the audience throughout the program today. So really, really good stuff today. And again, a special thanks to Mike Umbro. That's going to do it for this edition of the Labor Show, Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. On behalf of our special guest, Mike Umbro, and of course, on behalf of J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everyone.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.